For number 22 tonight, I'm not going to keep you really long from my part up here until we move down to the communion table. Luke 22, we'll read, starting at the beginning of the chapter, just because I kind of want us to get the full scene here, and just the thought that we're looking at tonight in preparation for partaking of the Lord's table. Luke 22, verse number 1 says this, "Now the feast of unleavened bread drew nigh, which is called the Passover. The chief priests and scribes sought how they might kill him, for they feared the people. Then entered Satan into Judas, surnamed Iscariot, being of the number of the 12. He went his way, communed with the chief priests and captains, how he might betray him unto them. And they were glad and covenanted to give him money. And he promised and sought opportunity to betray him unto them in the absence of the multitude. Then came the day of unleavened bread, when the Passover must be killed. And he sent Peter and John, saying, Go and prepare us the Passover, that we may eat. And they said unto him, Where wilt thou that we prepare? He said unto them, Behold, when you enter into the city, there shall a man meet you, bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him into the house wherein he entereth, and you shall say to the goodman of the house," that's the master of the house, "The master saith unto thee, Where is the guest chamber? Why I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he shall show you a large upper room furnished, there make ready. And they went and found as he had said unto them, and they made ready the Passover. And when the hour was come, he sat down, and the 12 apostles with him." In verse 15, you can kind of see where the mood is almost set for being very somber and being very serious. It says, "And he said unto them, With desire I have desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I say unto you, I will not any more eat thereof until it be fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks and said, Take this and divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God shall come. And he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Likewise also the cup after supper, saying, This cup is the new testament in my blood which is shed for you." And all we ask, Lord, we do ask your blessing on the word tonight, the reading of it, that you would be glorified this evening in Jesus' name. Amen. As we come to this time tonight, immediately we want to jump to verse number 19. But we really can't jump over there until we really begin to look at the scene of everything that's going on. Jesus knows exactly where he's going. In fact, the book of Luke in chapter number 12, I believe it is, he already starts to make his way to Calvary. So before we're halfway into the book, that last part of his life is heading toward the cross with the cross in full view. And the whole purpose, of course, Jesus knows why he's going to the cross, to fulfill the will of the Father. And as God, he understood that. But I just want us for a moment, humanly speaking, to just try to step into the same room and feel the emotions of Jesus tonight. Because you'll notice that here he is, he's come to minister to a group of people, and these people have rejected him. John 1 says, "He came unto his own, and his own received him not." And that has to be one of the saddest verses in all the Bible. That he comes unto the people he redeemed for himself. He comes to the people who he knew that he had drawn with cords of love, and yet this people had gone after idols in the Old Testament, and now they were all caught up in a religious system that was absent of heart but full on ritual and standard. And I just want to say, for us, that is a danger. if we get to the point to where Christianity is long hair on women, dresses on women, short hair on men, you know, when we get to that point, listen, I believe a woman ought to dress like a woman, man ought to dress like a man. We ought to be gender distinctive, especially in this day and time. Can I get a witness on that? That when we boil it down to where that's what Christianity is, friend, you and I, we've missed it. We've missed it. And Christianity is not a set of standards. It's not a bunch of religious rituals. Christianity's Jesus. It's Him. It's Him. But He comes to these people who were steeped in religion, and they would rather have their religion instead of Him. They would rather have the religion instead of the Messiah. And how sad that is. And I understand that Jesus is God. We get that. But if Jesus was fully human, and we believe that Jesus was fully human, I want us to stop for a minute and think about the psychological turmoil His mind went through with being rejected. Well, preacher, I don't believe that He had psychological turmoil. Being fully human, we understand that He did. We know that physically He felt the nails. He felt the cat of nine tails. He felt the reed that smote Him on the head, driving the crown of thorns. He felt all of that. And psychologically speaking, here He is presenting Himself, as it were, a few days prior to this, as He rode into Jerusalem on what we call the triumphal entry. But I will say to you tonight, and I would argue this point, that it was the not-so-triumphal entry. Had it been triumphant, they would have received Christ as king, and that would have been a different story. But they didn't want Him. They wanted the religious ritual. And all that being said, the day before the Passover, the chief priests, the scribes, are concocting a plan, and the devil enters into his man, into Judas Iscariot, and because of that, he now is in the hand of the devil, a pawn of the devil, and goes to betray Jesus to the religious rulers. We read that. Jesus knows this is going to happen. It is mentioned in the book of the Psalms. The one who, you know, I've sat at bread with me, He's raised up His heel against me. We took sweet counsel together. We walked to the house of God. We spent time in fellowship, the psalm says. And yet He was betrayed by one who was so close to Him. We see in verse number 7 how that the day of unleavened bread be there. The Passover is going to be killed. And He gives the disciples instructions on exactly where to find a place to have the Passover meal. Remember, the Passover commemorates the time when the blood was placed upon the door, the doorpost, the upper doorpost, the lintel, and the angel of death came through, and every place where there was blood, He passed over the house. But those where the blood had not been applied to that house, the firstborn in the house died. Blood had to be shed, and blood was shed to bring Israel out by that blood and by the power of God. And the Passover commemorated that to the nation of Israel on a yearly basis to remind them that they were a redeemed people, that they were a people special to God, and that God had a special purpose for them. And the whole point of that is it served as a reminder to the nation of Israel of their redemption. And might I remind us tonight that what we're going to consider tonight is definitely a reminder. But here's the part that's so sad. Israel had stepped away from their inheritance, their position of privilege as the nation that God had loved. They stepped into a religious form, a religious fashion. And all the Passover was to them was a fulfillment of a religious ritual. I think I may have told you, but I have sat, my sister and I sat in the house of an atheist Jew. An atheist Jew, and we ate Passover with them. He's an atheist. At least one of his sons is also an atheist. His daughter is a lesbian. They're Jewish. And we ate the Passover with them. Why did we do that? We did that because it was a Jewish ethnic custom to do. And friend, I want to remind us tonight, the Passover, it was not about an ethnic issue. It was about a redemptive promise that was fulfilled. God kept his promise that every house that had blood over the doorpost and the lintel would be spared from the angel of death taking a life of the firstborn in that house. And tonight we're looking before us here at the Lord's table. And what we have tonight is a promise of the redemption of Christ. Not that we're taking any salvation from this. It is a very powerful reminder of the redemption that God has given to his people. Everyone who comes to Christ is redeemed, listen, by the blood of the Lamb. Just as blood was required in the Old Testament to bring them out of Egypt, so blood is required to take us out of this world. And if anybody in this building gets to heaven, you will get to heaven because of the blood of the Lamb of God. In my hands no price I bring, simply to thy cross I cling. It is only the cross. I have no hope of heaven outside of the mercy of God through his Son, the Lord Jesus, because of the finished work of the cross of Calvary. That is the only hope that I have. That's it. And the problem is, when we observe the Lord's Supper, even after it has been such a long time since we've done it, it can become a ritual to us. And friends, it ought not to be a ritual. It ought not to be a ritual. It ought to be a service of remembrance. And I want to point your attention down here to Luke 22. Verse 19 says that he took bread and gave thanks, and he broke it, and gave unto them, saying, I want you to listen, this is my body, which is given for you. Now we know the bread represents the body. He's handing it to them just as if it were his body per se. And look at what he says at the end of verse number 19. This do in remembrance of me. We need to honor Jesus' last request with his disciples. And here's his request. You ready? Remember me. How many professing Christians forget about Jesus in a daily walk of life? I mean, we know many folks in here, you were raised in a nominal Christianity where there was a church setting, there was a church life per se, but that was disconnected from everything else. And with that, Jesus did not go home. He didn't go to the marketplace. He did not drive in the car. He didn't do any of those things. We don't need to be guilty of that same type of mentality that Christ doesn't go with us. Jesus' last request here at this night was just simply this, remember me. Remember me. And so tonight, as we get ready to partake of the Lord's table, I just want to remind us that this is not a religious ritual. It is very much a part of remembering what he's done for us. The body that was hung on Calvary was a perfect human body in the same sense that it had all of the nature, sin accepted, but all the nature of the human body. It grew and it felt and it had pain, all of those things. And that body that Christ allowed himself to take when God became a man, it was that body that he willingly allowed to go to Calvary and to be broken on behalf of his people that we might have salvation. That body was broken for you and for me. And when the blood was shed on the cross, the blood was shed just as the lamb had to die. When the priest, or back during the time of the Passover, when the head of the house would have taken his knife and would have slit the throat of that little lamb that had been kept up for 14 days. And the blood was caught in a bowl, and they would have gone out and grabbed hyssop, just a little bitty scrub plant, and would have taken that hyssop, dipped it into the blood, and put the blood upon the doorpost there and made sure that the entryway was marked with blood. Just as that had to happen, friend, we had to have blood shed on our behalf. Blood had to be shed. Not just simply a death, but blood had to be shed. The Bible tells us that the life of the flesh is in the blood. And the Bible tells us a little further on that without the shedding of blood, when it comes to our sins, there is no remission. And it took the blood of Jesus Christ to cleanse you of your sin. And tonight, as we participate in the Lord's table, let's remember the broken body and the shed blood that Christ shed on behalf of you and for me, that we can have eternal life. So tonight, in just a minute, we're going to have a couple of the men here help us out tonight. We'll read a few verses here and break some of the bread and partake of that. So remember, for everybody here who's a baptized member of the church, you're welcome to participate. Now, you little children, I want you to listen to me now. You can't. This is not a playtime, and it's not snack time. You can't have anything. Okay, this is for people who are Christians, who are saved. All right, and once you've been baptized, you can participate here. So I want you to take this as serious as you can. Okay, and letting your mom and dad participate, and just do the best that you can as well. And if you have any questions about it, I know they'll be more than happy to talk to you about it a little bit later. Okay, all righty. Let's bow for prayer, and then we'll get started here in just a moment. So, Father, as we bow in your presence tonight, we are grateful to be here. And Lord, I know that we could read a little bit later on where the Scripture tells us to examine ourselves to make sure that we partake of the table. We don't partake of it unworthily. And Lord, we'll say a little bit more about this, Lord, tonight, but I'm reminded that we're worthy because of you. So Lord, we ask tonight that you would bless our time of remembrance this evening. And Lord, that you would speak to our hearts tonight and help us, Lord, in this time. And Lord, we'll thank you for all you do in Jesus' name. Amen.